G'day everyone, welcome to this show, and today we've got Shirley Sienna on. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for calling me and asking me to come on, Pete. No. Make me get out of bed Monday morning.
Gosh, I was actually doing something for you last week too, and
yes,
that's how we hooked up, and we've just resonated. It's been amazing.
Yeah, I wanted to get to a few of your Sky Watches, but there's always something, you know, Georgie and Paul and everybody went, and I couldn't. And then the other day, when because of the radio show, the Yarra Valley Radio, 99.1 FM, all of a sudden that video of you came up that you posted, and I just thought, oh, I can ask him now. It was time, and it was a connecting time. So.
And we had some activity there as well, and you brought along the crystal skulls as well.
Yeah, wherever I go, awesome. There's usually a skull or two.
Now
we are their legs. I'm their caretakers, so they don't have legs, so we get them around, but they take us to amazing places.
Yeah, well, you've got a heap of them too.
Yeah, I'm a skull.
Skullaholic. They're all connected to the Mitchell.
They're all connected to each other. All crystal skulls, whether they're ancient skulls, and you know everything's debatable.
Mm-hmm.
Or like you know the modern contemporary skulls, which are, might be 100 years old, but we've known to carve them.
Mm-hmm.
There's the unknown and the known, really.
Yeah.
And they don't care because the crystal skulls are about information and love and enlightenment. Crystal, the earth, they're connected to the star people, mm-hmm. and they're us. You know, they're us without our flesh and our bones and our differences in shape and form.
Yeah.
But they're us. So they're one, they're creating a beautiful grid around the planet. So they are connected to all skulls, and because it's crystal, if you know, if you set up a crystal grid and you put some like, you know, Terminators and different things and mm-hmm. and it all goes, the crystals all interact and they share and download, they upload, download and share the energy as they do with us sitting in a crystal with a crystal skull grid. I believe that they're the memory keepers of everything.
Yep.
How we began, maybe how we'll end, I don't know, but they just utilize it and share it. And there are some major skulls like Max the Texas Skull, who Joanne Parks has, who I've been very privileged to sit with and have an amazing experience. I know he wasn't. It's impossible. He's five different sorts of quartz. He can't be carved. It's an impossibility. And I, from my own personal experience and the other things I've seen with Max, the stuff that he does is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
So they all share. So I'm lucky. A lot of mine, of where they've come from, I get from other caretakers around the planet, and they've all experienced and travelled and hold a lot of that energy. So it's my mission to have them here in my collective, and I share with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sit your little skulls, sit a crystal, it doesn't matter. Crystal is crystal, and it's a living entity in itself. So they've got the Mitchell Hedges, yes, the skull mm-hmm. that, his name's gone out of my head. Bill Holman has, the Texas Skull, Max, many of the Shana Ra, many of them come together and gather, and they are, whether they're proven to be ancient or from the stars or not, or just any skull can hold that energy
mm-hmm.
because it is, the crystal is as old as its crystal, as crystal as crystal. So they hold it and they share it. And when they are with some of these master skulls, I will call them, they do pick that up, and then it's their job to share it with all the other little crystals and skulls that can they can come across. And the skulls are etheric.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, you know, that you heard of the 13 skulls.
Yeah.
When people say, oh, this is one of the 13, there's nothing that anybody knows or can be proved or anything.
I don't go
with any of that.
Yeah.
But what I do know is there's a large etheric grid
of
skulls. And they work, I believe, when they came to that form first and then were created and carved in the indigenous elders back in the Mayans and everywhere else that they've revealed themselves. Les the Mitchell Hedges one did. Over the years, people knew, and they were holding information there. You know, a little bit of crystal can hold a... Like, we use crystal for everything, don't we?
Terabytes or whatever they're saying, all that data.
They're computers, they're wisdom keepers. That's why I call them the wisdom keepers. They hold everything and they share. And by meditating with the skull and working with it, that energy and information will come out to my skull and it'll go in my memory bank. Not my brain and my thoughts, you know, that other cellular. Because we're cellular
mm-hmm.
and we're so much, so we're crystal, aren't we? We're crystalline and we're watery and we're everything. We're electromagnetic. So
and that's how we can program them as well, because they are computers. They're database and storage consciousness.
We can put the information in. They said that the elder would put the information into that crystal, and it would be held and revealed for the following. Yeah. They're the books. They're the encyclopedias. Everything, exactly.
I'll just pan quickly around just so
people can... Yeah, we've brought a few into this room.
I'll just...
They are everywhere through the house.
You've got... there's actually a couple on Facebook too that I was holding over the weekend.
Manaka Manawi, who is a big blue aragonite. He's the universal avatar.
So what are these? This one's made out of the similar stuff to what Stonehenge is,
yes, that is Preseli Blue Stone. And his name, well, he told me he was... First I thought he was Herman, and then he said, Herman, and I thought, oh, aren't you lovely? But I realised he said recently he's very activated himself and he's holding the Hermes and Toth energy together.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They've both been working with me a lot, so everything synchronises.
Yeah,
you know, you don't just sort of, sometimes you think, am I making this up? And you get such a huge amount of synchronicity and confirmation that you can't. You can't if you try. And that's the beauty of really knowing when it does you. I don't do the skulls, they do me.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Is this one, that's citrine, is it?
That is, she's very special. That is Smoky Citrine. She's Honeybee 11, her name is, but she's one of the original grandmother skulls off Moonhawk's sacred pyramid. He's passed over now. He was from Colorado. He's a shaman, a Native American teacher, carver of skulls and healer, and after he passed I was able to bring here four of his skulls. I have four and she's one of the four. She's Mountain Lion. She was Grandmother Mountain Lion, and you know, she sat with some of those master skulls that I talked about, Max and things, spent a lot of time. Yeah. So it's important for me to have them here to share that energy out with everybody else.
Yes.
Their skulls and their crystals.
So they've been around that one, and then that transfers over.
Information. Yes.
Connects to consciousness. Correct. Yeah, yep.
And the little one in front is Pinky, the little skull of love. She's my son's Justin's skull. And we bought her from when we were in Arizona. For the mystery conference in 10-10-10, and made by one of the most famous carvers in the world. And Justin and him had a beautiful moment, beautiful time together. You know, you find your like-minded people. And Justin had saved all his pocket money up, so he was able to receive that skull for what he had in his pocket money, which nobody else could have. She's beautiful. She's that one of the pink quartz that shows the, you know, that, I forgot what they call it, like comes out, like they call it the Mary Cross or something like that. It shows in the top of her skull.
In the skull, the crown,
What's
this trippy looking one? This is different, the shape of the...
This is Little Voice. She is also, she's a... I have so many, I get confused sometimes, but she might be Lemurian quartz, but I can't remember. But she's carved with her skull specifically like that. They use sacred geometry and mathematics and to actually work out how to carve them, because it's, see in the forehead, that is all the information and I could find out again and let you know, but that's how she works. And she told me her name was Little Voice, and she comes to me when I do readings and I do things with people, and she seems to emanate and assist me in sharing as well. But she's beautiful, especially carved little like star babies or star children, and they're just gorgeous. She's very special. So see, they're all different, as we're all different, and they all have a resonance and do their job. And they'll tell you, they'll give you their name, gender moves and shifts. So I guess for us, like with our spirit guides, all the skulls have a guide. They have a spiritual entity with them working as well. And this is Grandmother Blue Bear. She's one of the four from Moonhawk. She's obviously a beautiful amethyst. And she's very quiet and loving, and she just sits and holds that bear energy, which has been a totem of mine for years. So that's why she comes. So, but there's many different ones. And you know what? Whether you buy it off the shelf in the shop because you like it, and that's how my first little skull ever came to me, Edward, who's in the other room. All of a sudden, it's years and years ago. I don't know. I don't even know what year. It's 10 or more. I was in a shop, and I'd been in this crystal shop, in and out, doing a lot of stuff there. It's not even there now. And one day, there was this little tiny pink skull, Edward. I looked at it, oh, a crystal skull, how long's that been there? She said, oh, he's been there for years. Nobody ever wants him. You can have him for $20. I found out since that he's carved by one of the top carvers. We don't know how he got there. It doesn't make sense that she would actually have him in her shop. And next thing I knew, I had a family of skulls, and I don't quite know how it happened. And I was connected on the internet into an amazing skull network, and traveling to Colorado back in 2010, and it all just, it happened. And I don't even recall saying, oh, I think I'll get into crystal skulls and do this. They just started to come, and it started to generate itself, but it's been my calling and part of my huge unfoldment and amazing stuff.
You've got to pick more out there as well. Yeah.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
But it is a journey, and, you know, sometimes people say, oh, skulls, you know, and I used to have the shop down in East Ringwood, had a crystal shop and wellbeing centre, and they'd come in and they'd say, oh, crystal skull, oh, I don't like skulls, and you know what, they'd be back within a week or saying, I've had a dream about your skulls, I have to come back. Now they love them and they take their skull.
Yeah.
So it's getting rid of that fear, you know, everything that's put into us, danger, danger, skull and crossbones, don't touch, might have information that could help you so we won't let you near it, you know. So that's how the skulls work. They've come to enlighten us and share, and they certainly hold the information. And they bring people together. You know, when you go to a skull gathering, like I've had them here and people come from overseas, but I've been overseas and people come from everywhere and come together. So there goes your race, your colour, your creed, your religion. It doesn't matter. We all come together with something in common and share, and it's amazing. It's just one of those things.
That is amazing. Yeah. Especially seeing people's reactions on the weekend at the Skywatch too. It was just like people walking up going, what the hell?
Yeah.
What was the blue one made out of again?
Blue aragonite.
Yeah, it's amazing looking, that one.
Yeah.
And the quartz was amazing too, but that's, you can see Christos. People's reactions.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, those two, they have personality, as we do. They're a living entity. And some of them, especially because they're awake and activated, and I've worked with mine, and where they've come from, as I said, makes a difference. So you might have a little sleeping skull. He just came off a shelf, you know, sitting somewhere. But all of a sudden, when they're ready, they wake up and do things. And interacting with these other ones, especially the big personalities, and they're big skulls, and they do have big personalities, and they talk to you. And, you know, look, this little one will just sort of wake up. One of my ladies in circle, my class that I run, one of the classes, the other night, I think we all had a bit of oil, we did a dab of oil, and we all had held a crystal, and I took them into a meditation. And, you know, she picked it out without seeing it, and she's new to my classes, and she sat with the skull and she meditated. And when she came back, she said, oh my God, my head was buzzing, it felt like my head was cutting. She had all these experiences going on, and then when we opened up, we realized that the same side of his head is all skew-whiff, and I'd never seen it before. Can you see the shape of this? And we went, oh.
That's weird.
And as soon as we connected that, it started to recede, and it just began a little journey and a story for her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just been one that I bought at a crystal shop, you know, and just sort of sits around. So whether they're a mass carved production, they are all a crystal skull.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get caught up in what's old,
what's new,
what's this, what's new. I honour the energy, because I've had some amazing skulls that they activate, and that's like we're born now and we activate and we do amazing things, and we all have special gifts and different talents and resonance, and that's what they do. I have got some really old Mongolian ones out there as well, but they're out in the lounge. I should have shown you those. We don't know how old they are. We feel that they're connected in like to the somewhere between the Tibetan and the Bon religion.
Yeah.
And they're a whole different ball game, but we can have a look at those.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, and they talk to people. They come in dreams, they telepath. Yeah. People wake up and have seen my naughty Omani, pardon me, seen him floating in their room. He's a bit of a midnight Romeo, we call him. You've got to watch him. They're made of orange calcite. They work with people, especially with pregnant women or any difficulties in that area. Amazing things happen.
That's amazing. Now, you're talking about the circles that you're doing things like that. You cover a lot of different things.
I do.
Do you want to give people just a brief overview? Because numerology, tarot reading, mediumship, there's all different things.
I guess I didn't have to go through a journey where I discovered the reality of spirit. My grandmother was a spiritualist, so, you know, there was always sort of talk and things going on in the home. And when I was little, I'd be in her room with her books, looking at, you know, the old mediums protruding ectoplasm out of their bodies. Of course, scaring myself half to death for most of my life, because I knew everything and I saw. when I would be in bed, the walls would disappear and I would sort of see into the other realm of spirit, and they'd just wave at me and I'd put my head under the blankets, you know, all the people just walking, you know, and things happening. So I've always been visual into those other realms. I did block it off as I got older because I used to get really scared because I knew it was real and nobody ever said it wasn't. And I spent years having to bring my journey back. And, you know, as we do, we go on and off the path. And, you know, it doesn't mean I've been playing with crystals and skulls and meditating my whole life. Well, I've been meditating since I was 19 consciously. But I go off at some times in my journey. I didn't want to know about the dead people. Just leave me alone. I don't want any of this. We have our lot normal life.
Mm-hmm.
But because I believe I've always had a knowing and an understanding, perhaps, I didn't have to have the big experience of, ooh, there's something more.
Yeah.
And I think it's got something to do with, I know that I'm numbered and coded into connecting and experiencing because my job is to share and connect other people.
You're a connector.
And lead that, yeah, I am, very much. And so I do work these days, I work as a professional medium. I'd like to say that I've factored a new form of numerology, but it actually did me. We're not that smart. My numerology, which I love and is a passion because number is everything, in my dreams, spirit has shown me different forms of how it works. And then when I wake up and I've remembered it and worked it out, it's right.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have done that, you know, if I tried, if I was away. And spirit loves number. They work with number. And so I also work with the realms. I've worked with the realms out, the galactic, the interdimensional. That is me. I can go. It just does.
It just happened, yeah.
And I've always had an interest, or it drew me. So I've not ever had to discover. It's always been things that have been natural. I think natural. So I teach, I share, I do, I experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I do go off in a whole lot of range. I find in the past few years since working with the dream spell, which is connected to the law of time that Jose Agay has put together, that has shown me that everything I've been getting is meant for this time and now, and it's brought so many things together. That's been a huge journey. And, you know, he passed in 2011 here in Australia, actually. And I was meditating one day back. It was about May, June 2011, sitting in the lounge meditating, and spirit said, get up and get on the computer and find out more about the harmonic convergence in 1987, which I'd heard of, and I'd heard of him, but I thought, oh, why do they want me to do that? Because I wasn't into his work or anything, didn't really know much about it. And I did, and I was, oh yes. And then it said, oh, he passed over in on the 23rd of March, which is coming up in a couple of days, in 2011. I said, oh, that's sad. Gee, I haven't seen anything on the internet. I heard anything that was like a major sort of philosophical or spiritual type figure had passed. I thought, oh, well. But then in the end of 2012, I was in Byron Bay. We went on a crystal skull journey, four of the girls, or myself and three other girls. We went to Wollumbin, which is Mount Warning.
Yeah.
And was it November or December? It was November because it was the time when that great big eclipse came and everybody was herding out to the eastern points. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
There was a big...
I think you had to be on the east side of the sea better than anywhere else.
Like,
yeah,
something like that. But we didn't realise that at the time. We thought, oh, wow, now the eclipse is here and here we, and spirit wants us to go there. But what happened from the moment we landed was me discovering, having experiences, and by the end of the week I'd been in, spontaneously in an astrological group, which we discovered, and Stephanie Scott ran the circle, and Stephanie South was one of the participants, who was his partner and protege and continues to do the work, who I didn't know about her at all, but we connected and clicked. And when the circle got around to me, and Viraj, who was the astrologer, we just gave him our name and birthday, he didn't know me from a bar of soap, said, Shirley, you are a galactic channel. And I said, oh yeah, I channel. He said, no, you are a galactic channel. I said, well, yes, I do, but you know, you feel a bit, you know. And he said, 2112 is encoded in your stars, what are you doing? And I said, nothing. I said, everybody's out to me about 2112, I don't want to know about it, But boy, did I. Mm. It evolved. I connected with Stephanie. She went off with one of my skulls to Palenque for the 21st of December, the great shift of the 26,000-year cycle. And my life hasn't been the same since. And I realised that Spirit's saying that. Jose's been mentoring me in Spirit now. Such a connection and such proof and evidence. He's amazing. Doctor Who lives. Yeah. It's just dimensions and where we go. You know, I can sit here and sort of, it's hard to even explain because there is so much that I have truly experienced without knowledge that it comes to you and it reveals itself and it comes. It's like when if I'm bringing in information, I do a lot of writing and channeling of information, and I have to trust what I'm getting because I haven't got a clue about the scientific stuff. And so then I Google and it's really there and it's real, and they've given me stuff, but they've given me stuff that science isn't connecting to.
Yeah.
When I think that's why I love the metaphysical and meta science, mm-hmm. you know. And I have to trust that because I didn't know it. And that's when you know what you're doing. So that is me, and it's my job, and I just do. Yeah. And I'm having a good time.
And that's what I'm learning with some of the information I'm getting, is I've had to learn to just let go, because my problem at the start, and it's the same with remote viewing or any psychic work, yeah. is that as soon as you get your left brain to kick in or question it during the channeling, you screw it up.
Yes,
you've just got
yes,
to let go and then yeah. question it or look yeah. at it later.
Yeah, that's right.
And you've really got to learn to let go, yeah. and that's something that I think...
Yeah, especially as the male, you're already programmed to do that, whereas the feminine, you know, we sort of had that...
A lot more intuitive going.
Yeah, so bringing it together, the dove flies with two balanced wings. That is what Spirit's always told me. That is balance, yin and yang, harmony. Bring a harmonic convergence of people, and that's why the skulls work with us, to encourage us to be that grid of enlightenment and love, and realizing that we're all here having experiences and to share what we can. Yeah.
And you've, like, when I was on your show last week, it was really quick how you put, and I'd never even thought about it till we were doing it, was the my birthday, 22nd of the 11th.
Thank you very much. About,
yeah. And then you went into it, and I'm like, oh, God. And it does make sense. I've talked to others.
It is. It's the divine feminine is the 22. Master Chaos, which I'm sure you've had.
Yeah.
Oh, and you created it yourself.
Yeah.
You will eventually learn how to manage that.
Master of the mind.
And then the 11, which is the illumination and the masculine. And so you've got, you're driven. This is what I call it, the driving force, is 22 and 11, which is the 33. That's the master consciousness of the cosmic Christ, of everything, of people. Six, it's a six, which is all about people interacting, our relationships. So you've got the intuitive, divine, feminine, and the strength and the force of the Son, the Father, the whole thing together. It's so here you are, bringing everything, connecting to the star brothers and sisters, getting yourself into that mode of left brain, right brain, coming together, working as one, symbiotic.
Yeah.
You know, and you've found your partner, and so you two are working that together as well. So it's bringing up, helping that compassionate side of you and that gentle side of you with the strength and mastery as well. So that's how it works.
It's amazing how it does work. Because yeah. like you say, everything is numbers.
We are coded. We can look at our design, our number, our place in the dream spell, and we go, oh, okay. And that will, when things work, it's like, it'll make sense when you discover more about your astrological code or anything else. It's all a jigsaw. It's like the great Spirit made the jigsaw and then dropped it and went, ha-ha, put all that together. So, you know, look at all the different religions. Everything holds apart. If they all came together, it'd be the whole conglomerate without man-made stuff. Getting to the depth. All religion has some depth of pure spirituality in it. Because we're spirit. We're pure spirit. We can be nothing else. We are the soul incarnate on the planet, connecting to our higher self, our spirit, to the greater spirit, and creating a whole thing here.
And this is part of the
what
journey.
What we're talking about?
Yeah, well, but it does come down to self-mastery and reconnecting with what we already know.
It's about understanding yourself. I love Narco Bear. He says, don't be nervous. Find your purpose, you know. Use your voice and put it all together. And that's what it is. Your place and your purpose. And then we get rid of the ego stuff and the competition and the, oh, what are they doing? Oh, my God, they might be better than me, or I can't do that. Oh, my God, I'll be forgotten. All that crap goes out the window because everybody has something, and their gifts and their talents and whatever it is that they're good at, whether it's plumbing or mediumship or whatever, come and it creates a whole thing. But of course, look at this world. There's people that
competition, and there you go, everything, everywhere, manipulation. Yeah, and this is what we're talking about just before we started recording. This is what's great is that with clients that I have, and I do consultations and reading, whatever, and the thing that I always want to leave people with is tips and tools to be able to connect themselves so they don't have to come back to me.
Exactly.
And some people get upset because they're like, I've come to you for blah, blah, and it's like,
I want
you to do the work.
And after all that, they say, but will I be all right? And I'm like, oh my God.
And this is what you do, you've been doing way longer than myself. And this is what Sol's been doing for ages too, is giving people the tools and experience they need to.
And to come back and to work with it more, but not come back and be told what to do. Mm. I can't do that. We can look at it, and this is why I use the number and all the other things that I've been given to understand a little. And it makes sense for them. And when things start to make sense, and even under the number understanding, it draws the personality and the understanding of the people and their family. Once they can go, oh, thank God, it's not some horrible thing trying to get them. It's everybody's experiences, and it reads, your number is easy to read. And the way I'm able to be, it's developed in me. Spirit uses it as a code, and my intuitive, my own psychicness as well. I can use that, and I think it helps them by, they go, oh yes, and they can understand, and if they walk out of there feeling a little bit better, that changes the whole dynamic. And people come back, but they come back in order to more, not to fix me, tell me. And that is
the key. That's what it's great.
And that's giving them their power back.
Yeah.
And so if we were using the cards, you know, Oracle or whatever, I'll flip cards for them sometimes, but mostly they have to turn the cards over because they're telling their story, and I say, now breathe in and raise your vibe because you are now going to create your journey. Tell yourself, because you already know what's going on.
Yeah.
I can't do it for myself, but I can do it for everybody else.
It's more like confirmation outside of themselves they're looking for, and we all go through it.
Yes, and they get understand the synchronicity and everything. And we show ourselves, it's all there, we've got it all. We just got a bit of assistance to understand and to learn and to realise that, you know, we all have my life, I've had many lives in this one life. I've got kids and exes and, you know, it's not been easy. It doesn't make it any easier. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think in some ways I've had quite a difficult time because I have to work with people and I have to have an understanding. It doesn't come out of a book.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, how do you know that? Must have been there, done that, experienced that, I get that. So that's how it works.
There's no manual to it.
No. You know,
we've got to go through it and go through the motions.
Exactly, and spirit will draw people to you who they would like to, who they can resonate through as well if you're working that way, or that you can resonate with and understand. And sometimes it's a bit like pulling teeth. Sometimes it's hard because people come in and be very closed off and they're a bit afraid to open up. But then they'll go, yes, and relax. And you go, oh, I could have done that half an hour ago. And they've been taken a little bit. They're so scared of revealing, you know, as well. Yeah. So it's such a broad spectrum. And
well, it is. And this is where it's been great talking to you because, and then there are a few people I can talk to about this. And I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that resonate with this. But this is where I was joking with everyone the other night saying, you know, when people used to go on about the archangels, this and that, I just didn't know. And then I've experienced this stuff and I'm like, oh my God, what a bastard I was, you know, just putting that off. And like I say, I don't have a throw out basket anymore. I've got just a grey basket full.
Yeah, I'll just leave it in there.
Yeah,
yes.
Because this is where, you know, what's great is that you've experienced as well as you incorporate the masters from all cultures, and then, you know, whether it's the archangel realm or whatever it is, then with the galactics, and because it is all interconnected. And I think paranormal as well, you know, it's all there.
Exactly. We start on this little 3D, and as people open up, they say, oh, angels, oh, fairies, oh, spirit guides. As you grow and develop, you realise, and who really is my spirit guide? My spirit guide revealed myself to him. I knew my spirit guide had never walked the earth. He has told me that. And a lot of the spiritualists and teachers say, your spirit guides have always walked the earth because they have to come here and learn in order to evolve to go back to being a spirit guide. My lone wolf has never, ever walked this earth. And I understand why now. And I always had to stick to that because that's what he told me. That's what White Eagle told me. I've had a lot of experience with trance and blah, blah, blah. And who he has revealed himself in dreams and visions to me. He wears his lovely long hair and his Native American big shimmery coat of leaves and his staff and, you know, all that. Well, a few years ago, I actually realised he was the tall, skinny, blue Arcturian being that... Because I must have been ready and in the moment. He revealed himself and I went, that is you? Oh, wow. Now I know why I haven't walked the earth.
Yeah, yeah.
It made sense. And I know who he is now. So he comes in either form. I don't care. I'm not so visual now. I have a no-seeing, mm-hmm. right? And seeing and knowing, my visuals went because I blocked it because I used to see so much.
Yeah.
So I'm slowly getting that back. But when we were in Perth years and years ago having a holiday, I had this dream. It was about 2007, I think. I had a dream. And in this dream, I was in a room, sitting in a chair like I am now, and three beings walked in the door. And one was very tall and skinny and blue. I have a photo. Tall and skinny and blue and long and wearing a funny sort of uniform thing. And the other looked like a sort of like a Mexican big hat, and he had a poncho on, and then there was a woman. And I sat there and they just stood and smiled at me and I was like overawed in this dream. I knew they were universal beings. That's mm-hmm. all I knew. And I woke up. And when we got back to... And that's when I actually found a book on crystal skulls too. And I thought, oh, and that was just starting to happen. And there that was. And came home to Melbourne, and it used to be the shop before I had it was called the Treasures of Atlantis in East Ringwood. And I walked in and they said, a lovely holiday. And I said, yes. And Alana said to me, I found this crystal. Sometimes I have them near me, but of course not when I want it. It was a polished quartz seeing stone. She said, I knew it was for you, she goes, and I took a photo and it came out all blue, and she goes, I have to let you have it. And I said, oh, all right. And I went home and I, lovely, it's like a matrix with just a polished top. They call it a seeing stone. And I went, oh, I'll take a photo. So I took a photo on just my old camera, my old phone. And what came out was the three beings that I saw in my dream. Tall blue guy, and it's all overlaid, and I've got copies of them everywhere. I'll find it sometime for you. But this is years ago, and then I realised a couple of years ago that he is that blue being. He showed himself, and I went, oh my God. But I had to be ready because I've been slightly scared and freaked out about by the ET stuff as well, because I know when they're in the room with me. It feels different to spirit. There's different.
There's different, yeah.
And I've always been, because I'm a over-imaginative Virgo, I guess that there's different dreams and different things. I've always had a lot of fear of things as well that I've had to work out of, and I didn't really want to get banged up, and you know, I'm in the room, I'm like, I'm just not ready. So, but I had to be really ready in that moment for him to reveal who he was, and like that helped me really, wow, get into my, I think, more dimensional, extra, I don't know, I've understood it, I feel it more, because it is me, and I realise that part of me that is me has come to the fore more and is present as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of the... I used to read too many books on abductees. I've read that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've been doing it forever. It builds up a lot of like, oh, I love it, I love it. Oh, but God, no, not after dark. Don't actually do anything. Yeah.
It's different for everyone. Even for me, there's times where I've had to... The way I can explain it is it's almost like you're going down a roller coaster sometimes when you're being taken, but... It's almost also equivalent to you're about to go over a huge waterfall, and as soon as you go over that rush, and then that rush turns into pure bliss, and it's like new vibration.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's adjusting to it, and it is something that it does happen on a unconscious level, but to deal with it on a conscious level is a whole different ball game because you're incorporating the body computer or the consciousness is used to being part of the human body to go through it. So it is, you know... I don't blame people with how they deal with it because, you know, like you said, you had to box some stuff off because you, not only is it full on, you just can't operate here.
That's right.
And you are here to bring through that for others, but if it's too much, you've got to have a balance of it, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. And I feel the way that I am now, and everything's been evolving again over some years and coming back just more into understanding the fear. What I thought was just fear because I just... was human, so I had so much fear, even though I knew things were real. Because I knew they were real, I was scared of it. Because I couldn't go into, oh, it's not real. It's make-believe.
You're experiencing it.
Yeah, and I feel for myself that has had to be such a big unfoldment where, you know, people say, oh, so much spirit. I'm like, yeah, you know, I love it. I'd be lonely. They like me better than anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, they're my family and my friends and my, they support me and it is my, it's my life. I don't just go, oh, I'll do readings today. It is my life. Yeah. Every, from dusk till dawn and all through the night, it is my life. And all this is my life. And I feel that having to go through the fear, go through the amazements, through the knowing, through the everyday, and if I hadn't have had them so close and been so sort of open to everything, I wouldn't be able to have done it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be, it's opened me right up. Yeah. It's, some say too much.
Too much, yeah. But a lot comes with it, doesn't it? Like, how have you been able to balance with family life and friends and all that? It, do you attract to you really what you, like, because what I've found is there's that there's a rough patch and all of a sudden you start to attract into your life those
like that minded, like you.
Yeah, and it gets a lot easier.
My siblings and that, I don't have any family connection. Mm. My dad does, but I... Yeah. But, My children have just know it's me, and you know they've grown up with it and things. Whether they're into it or not, or yes or no, or up and down, they're probably scared of being like me. My daughter lives in Central America. She's the witchy woman of the jungle. She's like, I think she's gone past me. She's like, woo. My other daughter, she acknowledges she's very psychic. It's not her life at the moment. Mm-hmm. She's got kids and doing stuff. My son. Does drive around with a crystal skull on his dashboard. Shut up, Mum, and don't tell me your stuff. But you know, they've all been used to it. And then Justin's grown up with it. He's mixed with shamans and he's had all these experiences. So, you know, we drive along looking at the sky, yeah, you know, yeah. My youngest. But, of course, he's a teenager, so he doesn't want to know about it at the moment either.
Yeah.
So it's just normal. But it's funny, when I closed, I finished having the shop and that, and I came out of my ivory tower down into 3D world. I was like, oh, I'd forgotten. You forget how to connect, and especially if people are not into it, but actually negative about it. And I don't go around walking around the street going, oh, I'm a medium or anything like that. But if you do talk about stuff which you're used to speaking as so normal, which is like, you know, we're doing now, and they go, and it's like they put up the garlic or the cross, and I'm like, wow. And it's a big shock. It actually shocks me when people get defensive or upset. So it's interesting. Yeah.
I've worked out to turn to...
The people are, I guess, gathered like
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to speak up.
My real friends love me because of who I am.
You are, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, regardless and because of, yeah.
If it's average Joe in the public, I've worked out to a lot of the time go to the weather and things that need doing around the home. And then if they ask me about football or something, I'm like, I'm buggered because I don't watch TV and I'm not into sport.
Well, my rally's played for Collingwood. I'm a Coventry, so I've got all that.
Yeah.
But,
and there was a connection to you and Soul.
Oh, God, yeah, that's right.
How funny. She told me, she goes, we're related through a marriage type thing. And I'm like, bull crap. And she's like, yeah.
She said Coventry. And I said, yeah. And she goes, her family married into the Coventry, so her in-law, or uncle or someone must be in Coventry. And her cousins are. And we're connected to the same year, to the footy players.
And she's related to, I think it's Dane. Edna Melbourne or something.
Oh, Dave Nelly Melbourne.
That's it, really? Yeah.
I was there recently, first time in all these years I'd gone to Nelly Melbourne's estate. Beautiful cafeteria and a lovely museum. She should go in and have a look.
And I think he helped build, it might have been the exhibition building and everything, you know, with the single, like it's a weird connection.
Yeah, is the thing, the links and sinks, I call them, that bring us all together, yeah. It's interesting. Well, we are all connected. So all those connections are showing us the greater connection.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Where do you think things are at the moment? Like, you've been seeing this for years and looking at the things playing out. Like, there has been a change since 2012, but what I say is a conscious change. It wasn't Space Brothers come on down. They're already here anyway.
Well, they're already here.
But it was rising up the vibration. And I've said to a lot of people too, like, if you just look at your family and friends that aren't into this, people are even looking at the minor things, like seeing, you know, 10 years ago they would have said the government wouldn't do this. Now they're saying, oh, look at what they're doing. You know, just little things like that. So we're seeing, I guess, an open up to a greater awareness of other things going on that weren't open to before. Yeah,
possibility. And, you know, it's even like, look, going to the movies, and I'm a great movie goer. I adore the movies. I see everything. And going to the movies, what, 20 years ago we would have watched something that was so way out science fiction, but now I go and I watch it and I'm like, oh, yeah. It's so normal. We've caught up, the film, like we are what are we? We're just a film strip, aren't we? Everything's starting to go a bit awry in some directions, like their film's running out, and that's why we've got all this funny, ridiculous Donald Trump stuff and the whole election. I mean, it's just like a cartoon, isn't it? It's like watching Family Guy or something. You know, so there's all these different things, and sci-fi films are not so far out that you can't imagine, which is pretty scary in a way because, you know, they never really do anything on a big positive basis. It's always about, you know, brings in fear and negativity a lot into the sci films, you know what I mean, which I adore them, but they don't seem so far, like, you know, control over the people, hurting the people and the effect that it all will have on us. So I feel like that some of the messages are given, because when we're inspired to write a book or make a film, where does that inspiration come from? People say, oh, I was inspired. Well, it's got to come from somewhere, and that's when they go, oh. So everything is inspired and shown to us, and the government, God knows what's there. We could get into the conspiracy theory, which I do sometimes, a lot. But and normal people are starting, if they stop watching certain programs that are mind controlling, and they go, oh, and then the little synchronicities, and once they can connect onto those, it just gives them a little bit of thought. And oh, and I think they start to feel themselves again, because we forget to feel ourselves.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, and then little things happen. So everybody, I'm noticing, we are writing a new cosmic history. We're in a whole new cycle. It wasn't the end. It was a completion in order to begin. And everybody, I feel, has the seed is in every single person now, ready, if it wants to be awake. And some of us have a tiny little shoot. This is what they're showing me coming out. And others are full bore, and like the vine or Jack and the Beanstalk going up or whatever. And some of that seed is lying dormant and very, very buried. But all they need is love, and to get rid of the fear and that loving connection, some way to come through. And so I believe that all the garbage and all the bad stuff that's going on, what we call bad and war and all that, it's actually our greatest lesson and our greatest teacher. It's all there for a reason. We should embrace it, because it's trying to get us to wake up, shake up and stand up and go, oh, hang on, who are we? Oh, we are the ones that we've wanted to come and fix us. We're actually us. We're already here. So let's utilize all these things. It's about realization. If we didn't have those, we come here to grow and realize, otherwise we'd be in spirit or wherever we are. This is the place of three density, a difficulty that is slow growth and energy. So we incarnate here like fools, forget everything, and then go, oh, what's going on, and have to work our way back, because it's a blink of an eye, isn't it? Because we're infinite, we're eternal. So all the stuff that everything we experience is for us to experience. So take the gift of it, the treasure, the hidden treasure, and let it maybe unfold something in you. You know what you don't want. You don't want to be starving. You don't want war. You don't want a Holocaust. You don't want all these things. So what do you want? Start bringing that for. I mean, I don't even have a flu shot. We won't go into all that.
Yeah,
but you know what? The government, it's this control. We have to stand and say, we're not controlled. We are all like the skulls. Single individuals creating a whole collective consciousness, and then we can bring peace to Earth, and that is the mission.
Do you see anywhere further ahead than other places in the world, because you've travelled around, in terms of being open to this, or it's just a normal reality? Like, I've noticed with the Mexican people, for example, this is just, you talk about UFOs and they're like, yeah, so what, let's get into the van.
Go out the backyard.
Yeah, that's
all what's normal. And you know what I think too, here in Australia, we're like segmented a little bit out here, so, which is very important, I think, for us to do some discovery ourselves and realisation. But everybody, it's like your culture or whatever it is you're into, everything is normal. And of course, when it's not, because we're the alien in there, we go, oh, wow, look at this, look at the pyramids, look at this, look at that. But they come here and go, oh, look at the kangaroo, wow, and look at this and that. So, yeah.
This is different, isn't it?
It is, and that's why we need to come together. No borders, no nothing. And we're all connecting and interbreeding, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know, we have become the rainbow people.
We have, and we're continuing that. That was actually shown to me too, we're bringing all these together.
Yeah. As all the skulls are all different. There's rose quartz, there's quartz, there's this, there's that, the other. They're all different, but they're all one collective. And we, God knows where we're all from.
Yeah. It's a big mixture.
And so, you know, the Western world has, you know, programmed us from the news you know, 6 o'clock news and this and that and don't do this and wake up and go to work at home at 3 o'clock. Whereas, like, you're right, over in Mexico and all these places, but then again, they have a whole other issue with all the drug problems and all the other stuff. And
I think that's trying to dead down the openness of it too, yeah.
Because, you know, who's doing what? We don't know.
Yeah.
You know, we're probably doing a lot of it to ourselves.
Yeah,
so everybody has their good side, their more negative side, the difficulties and the great stuff. If we could bring it all together, which is what we're meant to, it'll be amazing.
Definitely. Where do you see things energetically, like with the numerology and everything you do, where do you see things over the next few months, like, going? Because I know that, like, we've definitely got, you know, where the planets are, especially with what the sun's doing, throwing off huge solar flares, is continuing to do this, and very big ones indeed, to where I know that a lot of crafts have been blocking some of the blows because we should just not have an electrical grid half of the time with what's been going on. Well,
it has been dipping a bit, hasn't it?
It has,
and the energies, you know, people always write, oh, ascension shifting, you feel this, feel that, and they do it all the time. I think when you're really experiencing something, you know, and I feel that there really has been a shifting energy, and a shift, it really is a shift, and energy going on. I had a bit of a meltdown the other day, and so did a few of the other women. They were like, oh my God, they felt it. And so it comes in our core and inside us. And energy-wise, well, the numbers do say so much, but of course we're in a 2016 is a 9 vibration, and 9 holds the power of all numbers, and everything comes back to itself, all back to 9. It all works that way mathematically, but it's a cycle of completion. And so all this crazy stuff's happening and the energy's shifting because our thing is to start a new momentum. 2017 is a 1, so we need to clear some stuff up and experience these things. I feel like there's been a quick thing, like the reels running faster, quicker, and the energy is huge and shifting. And I'm just meditating a lot, and I'm just going with it. And it's a great thing, but we're going to be in, come July, 26th of July brings in the new natural time cycle. And we'll be in a year called Spectral Storm. Now, spectral is the 11th tone, and a spectral storm, if we don't clear up, something else will.
I've sort of got, like, that from other sources as well.
Storm is the world changer in a tire archetype.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it comes through to clear the deck.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a bushfire is a good thing. We're just not out there. It's fault. We build houses in the middle of bushfire places. It's a natural occurrence. Are the earthquakes, the volcanoes, Mother Earth grumbling, but everything is to clear. It's a living organism. And Stormy will come in to clear up and help us complete some things in order to begin, because the universe wants us to have an amazing stuff, not be held down in all our baggage and crap. So physically, I don't know. What is the sun? What is the moon?
Mm.
I don't know what the moon is. I know what it isn't.
Yeah.
You know, I think we've got the same idea from what you said the other night. That's what Spirit told me a few years ago. So is it all a are we in a terrarium of control? It's very switch. We're puppets on a string. I don't know. I feel
but
like
this has got to happen. It's got to happen. The like I said, everyone. You know, it's you've got to have amazing. That dark period before the light comes with
because
the
that's everything.
The storm.
And you know, I do feel that it's going to be a great big cleansing, but consciously and emotionally. What happens physically, I don't know. And you don't like to. People shouldn't predict things to scare people either, because that turns people off. Know that if you're on the tip of a volcano, and if you're going to go in when it erupts, you will. But if you're meant, if your divinity is to be safe, you will. So don't even worry about it. That's what I've learned from all my fear, is to not have it, because if it happen or it won't.
Yeah. It's going to happen, and if it doesn't, then nothing you can do about it.
But consciously, I feel like there's going to be a big vibration that comes in, and those seeds will, like, I feel like they're going to go zzzz, and they'll start to sprout regardless of people's defense mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the mechanisms, or the, I can't quite get the word for it, that's been put on us by whatever these powers or governments or controls or whatever they truly are is, I feel like it's cracking and crumbling. And it's like the shell is starting to crack. Oh, the egg.
Yeah.
It's open and the chicken's coming out.
That's how and we're just about at Easter.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Ishtar.
Yeah,
we're at Ishtar. as she comes and brings her information, going back to the Sumerian tablets and the Anunnaki, and then all that information, it's all coming, embrace it. And if anybody says, don't look at that, don't think that, don't read into that, then make sure you do.
Mm-hmm.
So, because they're just trying to waylay you from discovering your truth. And we're all holding the codes. We're all coded. If we were decoded and laid out on a giant grid, there would be the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All the information's within, yeah.
It is, every single bit. So share information, be of the information yourself. Don't get on the guru thing and say, oh, fix me, heal me, tell me, and they know everything. But come to gatherings and put your bit in as well. You know, that's how it's worked.
Mm.
I can't tell people, I can share. I can't be bothered to come up with instructions, but I can share, and I can give you some things to help you be on your moment of, oh, okay. And please take it from there and do something with it.
Go on your path. And
yeah, and look, we are in 3D, so, I mean, you know, we've got all that stuff to do. I've had to wait. My oldest child is 36. My youngest just turned 18. I've been doing the school run for 30 years. I've just finished it. I'm like, whoa. And I knew 55. I turned 55 last year. That was a oneness. And I started to feel my eagle wings with the 250.
Yeah, yeah.
And 56, I know, is going to be another doorway. Hopefully not into heaven yet.
Yeah.
But I can feel that and understand it, because spirit showed me, and I take notice. And I know there are people here, and I've been to skeptic meetings and things, and there aren't many true skeptics. My personal belief is a true skeptic is open really to whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of people just want a naysay and don't get it. But I've seen people stand there, and the biggest synchronicities that you can't miss, and it doesn't even phase them. Not because they're blocking it out, it doesn't actually.
Doesn't register.
And I'm like, oh my God. So if you notice something, take notice. And if you don't, okay. But do something to help yourself take notice, because all will be revealed and it's all shown to us. Everything. May I mention the film I'm screening?
Well, yeah.
Time is Art. And for anybody overseas, look at Time is Art. Go to the website. It is a film about consciousness, synchronicity, and it was made on a journey since 2012. To 2015, it was revealed and given to the public, and it was documented and unrolled and unraveled as they went. So it actually is a real journey of consciousness, of unfolding, of numbers, of, oh, what happens after death because of someone's journey, a realization that, what have I been ignoring?
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Palmer's aunt passed, but she was on her way to the airport and spirit made her return. She was a skeptic. She wouldn't have said the word spirit. And she had to turn around, miss her plane, and go back. And they've been trying to contact her and saying, we've been trying to get you. She's just gone to pass. They thought she had months left. And from that moment, an experience happened in the room. And from that moment, she thought, what have I been ignoring? What were all those numbers meaning? And she started to look back and went, I better journey. And met Katie Walker, the filmmaker, and together they've created an amazing film, which isn't answers, it's all questions.
Yeah.
And so you take parts of it, it's all different things they look at and experience, and amazing visionaries like Daniel Pinchbeck and Rupert Sheldrake and Grant Hancock. They were all there where they needed them to be to interview them.
Yeah.
Like ours has worked out. Chance, they were like, oh, here they all are. So I'd love people to see that anywhere. You can Google and go on the website. I'm screening at the Carlton Nova on Thursday, April the 14th at 6:30. I've already screened it once at the Karolika Centre with Anthony. We've made Soul Symmetry. So there's so many things. There's something there, whether if you want to know about the skulls, or you want to know about spirit, or you want to go for a walk in the park and lie down and look at the trees and think everything is a living energy and lie in the grass and connect to the earth and see if there's something in the sky or whatever, but just realize yourself because you're part of it all, and start to think. And if a little synchronicity happens or something happens, just for one moment, get rid of all the naysaying and just think, wow, what was that moment? And let it take you somewhere so that you understand and you start to evolve and you reveal what you have to offer, your place and your purpose. And I feel that's what it's all about.
Awesome. We'll wrap it up there, because I reckon that's the perfect note to wrap it up on. Okay. And I'd love to get you back on another time, because I know that we could talk for hours.
My friend Delita calls me the sister of Babylon sometimes.
No, I think it's a bit, that's why I've had the, you know, we've been drawn together somehow, how this has worked out. And, you know, just like you, I just want to help get everyone's information out that I come across.
It's exciting. It's yeah. our adrenaline rush, and it's so amazing that I like to, wow, look at this. And yeah. when people go, what? I go, oh, look again.
Look again, yeah. No, yeah. awesome. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks and for coming and doing it. Yeah.
No, it's fine. There'll be a link underneath this in the description area or wherever you've downloaded the audio version from to your website so people yeah. can oh, find cool. out more yes. there as well. Yeah. So
awesome. Great.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Peg.
Have an awesome one, y'all.
Yeah, have Cheers. A good one.